discussion. It's a business interview.
Yeah.
I'm really working on it.
Well, you have
there's a presentation to show them on your slide. We also have a movie. You also got paper copies of it.
Good little business.
Is that correct, man?
Well, he moved up there and he got into every kind of thing. And even when his business was sinking, he put for 35 or 40,000 into a snack bar in his whole restaurant.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but he had like garden and stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah. I really missed that a lot. They're working on by the same company now.
Okay.
I think it's something that surprised me that the really Tuesday, I went to a unit action.
Yeah.
It was closed. And then this guy was in front of me at Dollar General. And he asked me, "Are you working hard?" She said, "Well, part time." He said, "What's part time?" She said, "20 hours or less." He said, "I said, really Tuesday." That was in Charlottesville last Friday, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. With no notice, they just closed the doors.
That she closed one shop real quick.
You know,
well, I heard something on the news about them having some problems, but I didn't really pay attention to it, so.
They closed like the 29 in Virginia.
They would have closed three Martin grocery stores in that picture.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether those are ones that somebody else would have taken go for.
I don't know, but
because the food line sold something to someone. But I think, if I'm not, I didn't go and read it, I'm like, I'm see.
But all the time, you know, food. Except for just the SUP.
Right.
But it's okay.
But that's, yeah.
Want you to ask that, but.
I tell you, ask the setback, it's changed from there.
I could have gone either way on interpreting the setback, but that there seemed to be a little bit of conflict in the ordinance. And how we interpret it, accessory structure setbacks. And I don't think, and it. Yeah, and quarter lot specifically, you know.
It's not on. No, sir.
Okay.
We were talking, I didn't have a chance to speak to you, how you doing?
I'm doing good, how are you?
So that problem is too close to the road, not the property line?
It's too close to the, there's two, the way one section of ordinance is, Ray, you can count as having two front yards, you can have a front yard setback on that side. There's the one other section of ordinance said if you treat that as a side. So I chose.
I believe the setback issue was with the neighbor's property, not, when I was over there talking.
Because the road wasn't in.
It was, she has her house, and it fronts on two roads.
I think it was the road.
Yeah, okay, because that's not what she was talking about, everywhere she was pointing. I thought the setback problem was the property line.
Yeah, it was the, yeah, it was the road, it had to be interpreted as a corner lot setback. After looking at it.
Is that rule, but under your ownership on the quarter lot?
Two fronts, you got to be setback.
In agricultural zoning, the corner lot would get BZA every quarter.
Now, 6 o'clock.
Yes, I'll talk to Sean first.
Time to start our work session. Our agenda has changed a little bit tonight, but I'm calling a work session to order at this time. Our first order of business will be the pledge allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Everyone would stay standing, we'll have a moment of silence. Thank you. At this time, we'll have director's comments.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any comments at this time.
Thank you. The next would be public comments limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Anyone from the public that is here for any other item than what's on the agenda for our work session, please come forward to the mic and state your name and address. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll move on to the work session. And the first item is a discussion about ZMP 1602 Ravenna Heights rezoning updates.
All right, this is a request to rezone 13.81 acres of tax map 18A10 from A1 Agricultural General to R3 Residential Planning Community. Located in the Palmyra Election District, as well as the Ravenna Community Planning Area. This was last heard by the Planning Commission on August 24th. However, you all chose to defer action due to concerns over road access. This is a view of the property on South Boston Road. You have all the adjacent properties of zoning to A1 or R4. This is the plan that was reviewed by the Planning Commission on August 24th. And this is a revised plan. Previous plan, revised plan. They've added traffic circles here and here. There's an improved entrance exit scheme. Roads are now two ways. And there's also an emergency entrance, which is what I know Mr. Lagomarsino had commented on specifically during the hearing. The applicant is here. If you have any questions, and you can explain more about that.
Where is the emergency?
Right down here, sir. But the folks turn around the emergency entrance. Mr. Chambers,
sure.
Take it away.
Feel free to come up here if you need to point.
I got that other point.
Okay, I appreciate it. The main comments that came up at the last meeting that I addressed here were something about having a turnaround or crossover so that someone forgetting their keys could move back and pick them up for their house. And VDOT has a requirement. requirement for 225 feet before you hit any sort of change in traffic. So when we first presented this plan, can you switch back to the August 24th? Okay, you see how that very short entrance there is certainly not 225 feet before it hits the circle for the townhouse. I went to VDOT and I talked with them and asked them about doing one-way traffic. Okay. I asked them about doing one-way traffic. It still has one-way traffic coming in and exiting until it hits traffic circles. Now the traffic circles are over 225 feet away from the entrances, and I think that is, you know, pretty much per VDOT's comments. If we were to try and do a crossover like one of the members suggested for the traffic coming out of the townhouse area, it would have to loop way into the community garden. So I didn't think that was beneficial option to doing that, so I came up with traffic circles to give people a chance to turn around, move back, go visit their neighbors, whatever they had to do before they got on the one-way portions of the road leading out to South Austin. The other concern, of course, was for the emergency entrance for fire trucks and rescue and whatnot. We thought the best idea to satisfy that was to combine the emergency entrance with our dedicated turnaround for Uvalde County Sheriff. So we've got both of those shown, and the emergency road comes into one of the traffic circles, and the proposed turnaround was moved to a point where you had adequate sight distance in either direction. You have to come 14 and a half feet off the edge of pavement, establish a 500-foot line of sight, and then back off of that line of sight 5 feet. So I've got my clear sight lines indicated on the revised plat, as well to the emergency entrance, as well as the regular entrance. And I'm hoping that I've satisfied everybody's comments. I don't know that I pick up a lost key before I got all the way down the subdivision. Usually, what I do is I leave these reading glasses at home and don't realize I've forgotten them until I get halfway to the office.
What is the width of this emergency?
The width of the emergency entrance is about 20 feet, but I'll tell you, well, yeah, about 20 feet, because
doesn't the fire department require 24 feet?
I thought it was 20 foot minimum. Okay. We can look into that, because at one point in time I was reading through the ordinance and it said something about 18 feet. We took up this issue at the last meeting, and
I know that in another thing that we're working on tonight, actually, VDOT told them the entrance had to be 24 feet, and they're going to have 27 feet.
Okay. Is that for two-way traffic? Because this is a purely emergency road.
Yeah, I'm just, what I'm trying to figure out is, because of these traffic circles, if a fire truck or something came in there, whether they would be able to manipulate these traffic circles. That's what I'm, that was going to be my follow-up question.
Okay. Well, they are 50-foot radius circles, so they're plenty big. They're as big as anything in Lake Monticello currently.
Is it the radius, not the radius?
Yeah, 50-foot radius. You got it.
So how would an emergency vehicle get to 1, 2, 3, 4 area? On the back side, on the left.
Oh, okay, I got you. The vehicle would have to either come in and go around further one-way traffic or flip on its lights and either come in the emergency entrance or come in against one-way traffic. You have a 20-foot road there, and the 20-foot road here again is as big as anything in Lake Monticello. But let me defer to Jason. Have you found the area in the ordinance that spells out the width of the road requirement?
I'm not exactly sure what we're talking about.
I might suggest before it actually comes to us again, and I don't know whether it's going to go before the TRC or not again, but maybe you should actually talk to the people with the fire department about the access, stuff like that.
Okay.
Because I don't want us to get into a situation and all of a sudden we approve something, and then all of a sudden you get shut down.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
That's. I was looking at that, trying to figure out how they could actually get to that and about the radius of these traffic circles. I know that another zoning we did at another place, and it could have been when we were doing something about the assisted living thing. Wasn't there a question about the radius thing there?
I think people had questions about access to that site. I mean, is this living facility for Sycamore Square?
Yeah, and I was thinking about that. There was a question about a fire department about the width of that road with that curb, you know.
Yeah, I vaguely recall that, yeah. I believe they were, everything for what they had submitted got approved and everyone was satisfied.
So have you talked to VDOT about any of this since it was deferred?
I emailed VDOT this plan on the 20th.
Uh-huh.
I called Mark Wood on Monday, and he said that something to the effect that he had comments, he would get them to me before this meeting, but that he was swamped.
Yeah. I just, you know, before it comes to us, I just like to make sure that VDOT is satisfied, and I'd like to be sure that the fire department thinks that they can maneuver if they had to bring in a longer fire truck.
Mm-hmm.
And for the protection of the people in that too.
Yeah.
That's just some of the questions I have. So I can see what you're trying to do here, but I also could see possibility of some problems or questions, you know.
Hopefully before we meet again, the people that I am touching base with will have enough time to respond. And yes, by all means, we want to address any concerns that come up and make this as safe. We'll find the appropriate report section and talk to you about the fire. The 18 feet sounds familiar to me. You know, a lot of projects I've worked on before, but and there's some sections of the ordinance where I'm sure it defers to fire safety.
I'll let you go to find out next
week. I kind of wish Mr. Lagostino was there tonight because he's worked with the fire stuff in Charlottesville and Alamo County, and he has a lot of idea about how some of that stuff works. So
I recall that proposed emergency exit was for entrance was specifically something that he had wanted to see. So I'm glad that
changes added that. You know, I like the fact of it, and I like the fact that the sheriff's department can use it also, but I need to make sure that there's adequate access for emergency vehicles.
Right. And it's my understanding that this won't require another public hearing. Can you bring it back? It'll be for old business.
Okay.
With revised plans sent for the planning commission review.
So basically, we won't have to open up a public hearing for the public.
I will definitely put touching base with the fire department on top priority for determining if the road that is adequate and the turnaround radius is adequate and also the emergency insurance.
Has there been any more talk from VDOT or do you know of about reducing that speed limit through there? I saw an article the other day about some roads that may be going 35 miles an hour because of some ordinance that was passed. But they didn't read it, so I don't know what that was.
Mr. Wood and I did have a chance to talk about that. He's driving around the town.
Well, I was down there the other week and actually looked at the traffic through there and noticed that there's a whole lot of violations at 45 miles an hour. And that could be a lot of why they're having some of the wrecks they're having. And of course, right now, the sheriff's department has really no way of doing traffic enforcement because no real pull-offs. So. Does anyone else have any other questions? I think we need to know some of those answers of some of the things that I asked you about because of the fact that, you know, for the safety and welfare and the well-being of anybody who's in that county, we need to know that there is access for emergency vehicles. I mean, even two, you have rescue squads and stuff like that, and so forth like that, too.
And James, if you could follow up with Mark Wood, Chief Brent, just to make sure that...
You have a burden, I know that.
Meeting on February 28th, but we would need give Mr. Chambers time to, if there are any comments, to change up before the October 25th meeting. So the sooner the better.
A lot of times it's to protect you as well as everybody else.
Well, aside from road requirements, overall, does this concept seem to meet with your approval?
We'd have to discuss that at our meeting and so forth like that. So until we have a complete concept, I think it would be best if I not answer the question.
Okay. And I will definitely look into the road width and get back with you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is the sign ordinance discussion.
Mr. Chairman, you may recall last month we briefly discussed the sign ordinance and gave you some examples from certain localities. You all asked us to come back with a comparison with more immediate counties like Alamo and Louisa. James had a brief presentation, and you all also have handouts on the courses, Alamo and Louisa, and Louisa's sign ordinance. So we came to give a brief little presentation for discussion on the comparison of these three.
I'm all kind of thick.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at that.
Right.
Well, I looked at the comparison between Savannah, Louisa, and Albemarle with their signs and looked at what they have for restricted signs, for temporary signs, and for business signs. Overall, all counties have prohibitions on flashing signs, on moving signs, on any ones which obstruct a point of ingress or egress. Signs which imitate, you know, official traffic signs, just stop or danger signs. And then there's a couple of differences between the counties, for example. We have specifically, I guess, applicable signs, pennants, portable, and then some special type of roof signs that aren't necessarily copied by Louisa or Albemarle. Louisa and Albemarle both had restrictions on signs that violate state or federal laws and outdoor advertising, things like that. But the main issue is that, like, the flashing and moving signs, which we've been concerned about, all three counties restrict those.
I noticed on the pennant, Albemarle also
think flashing.
Originally, when we discussed the signing ordinance and did the signing ordinance, that was one of the things we may not be able to do. At the time that was erected, I asked the planning director at that time, how could that be? And they said they got a permit. And
I believe it wouldn't count as a flashing sign, it would be an illuminated sign. As long as it doesn't move or change at intervals of less than 20 seconds.
So even the county administrator at our last, when he made his presentation, said it was illegal.
I don't necessarily think it's illegal, except for, and then Steve Cogle mentioned something about the actual size possibly would be on the orders.
Okay, I was just questioning because I noticed that today down at a service station down at Fort Union, they have a sign that does the same thing with the gas prices.
Yeah. There's one thing in Albemarle, I believe it's Albemarle, they have a very large sign ordinance, and they allow flashing signs that show like the temperature or the time, as long as it doesn't change in any more than like 5 or 10 seconds.
Yeah, and I think some of them.
Albemarle went really in depth. You know, I have a copy of Albemarle was in, so we have a sign ordinance in front of you. Albemarle's went really in depth as to what constitutes like a flashing sign or a temporary sign.
Electronic message signs. The flashing sign is defined as an illuminated sign, of which all or part of illumination is flashing or intermittent, changing in degrees of intensity, brightness, or color. Electronic message signs that meet the requirements of this article 2215 are not considered flashing signs. So I think that would kind of limit the legal sign would be something like Las Vegas type of signs that are.
I know in our ordinance, on page 360, we also have a thing about signs that violate state or federal law, whether or not identified in this ordinance.
Yeah, but effectively anything in the zoning ordinance can't be a violation of state or federal law. It's a catch-all.
Yeah, this slide is by no means.
Do we know? I wonder. Is any of the signs that we actually permit, does any of them possibly violate the state law or
just not to my knowledge,
check. But I see that type one type the particular type sign would say at different
places. That's why we mainly VDOT, when we talk about state, they don't want anything located in the right of way, so we're always wanting to see where something is located.
Well, actually, going back and looking at this and reading something just now, that talking about illuminated signs, it says the copy of electronic message signs may not flash, scroll, move, or change at time intervals of less than 20 seconds.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what the high school sign is, how tall that changes. It may have originally been set at the 20 seconds, I'm not sure.
But that would be my concern. I don't have any problems with these signs, but the county is set an example. It's all along. I'm not sure we are. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, there is a lot of violations in the county. What bothered me was the fact that the county administrator pointed out the ones that were being violated on county property. And maybe that sign is not involved. Maybe I misunderstood back when we did.
We've never been asked to investigate a violation on the high school sign.
Well, what I was told is they got a permit. They didn't have to get a permit, but they did anyway. That's what I was told at the time.
They, at the very least, that sign would have required a building permit. They may technically be exempt from some of the zoning requirements under state law, but I do know that building permits require any sort of footer or anything like that, and electrical permits, but they do have to be
what I'd like to do is, I see that in a lot of the things, we're exactly the same as other counties. Would it be, and maybe this is a completely wrong idea, would it be good that the planning department got with some of the business community and talked about what signs, what their concerns are, their exact concerns? Because the last time we did this signing ordinance, we worked with the business community for a long, long time before these, and they seem to be satisfied.
I asked Mr. Smith for some time after the business community received, it seems that some do want flashing signs, more restrictions. Less restrictions on temporary signs and less restrictions on portable signs. That seems to be specifically what some of this is concerned about. And also, they would like to see us lessen our square footage requirement on shopping center.
I've got signs for all three counties, the definition, and then we've got business signs, how they're regulated in A1 zoning, and then business signs, how they're regulated in commercial style zoning. And by and large, Louisa and Albemarle allow for larger either area signs or larger type of signs in both agricultural and in commercial areas.
Well, my personal thing is I think we would probably be more likely to go to what Louisa does than Albemarle County. But we're more like Louisa than we are Albemarle County.
Louisa does have some weaknesses in the ordinances. I talked about House and Fitch. She's worked in both localities.
Right.
The man is stronger than Louisa, stronger than others. So we may want to take a look at Louisa's and see, pick the best from theirs and try to answer that.
Would that be a good thing to try to do and then talk to the business community? What are they talking about temporary signs? What are they talking about moving signs, so forth, portable signs?
I think portable signs basically need those.
The ones on wheels with the
trails.
Well,
the ones that most counties seem to prohibit.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And we're talking just a few business people. I'm not sure if this is a general sense of the business community. That's why I'd like to get Mr. Smith here to talk to you all in the interaction of the business community.
Yeah.
He's had conferences at the Chief Planning Commission meetings.
Well, I told you today that I was, I frequently go to Fort Union there and, right up the front where the sign for sales and the grocery store and so forth like that, there's a portable sign that's been sitting there for a long, long time that is broke on one end and just sitting right down on the ground and so forth like that.
It's not portable anymore because it's broke.
Yeah. It's actually dilapidated.
I always like the folks who, they're still the same old ugly sign that's in concrete.
But we do have portable signs that are being used in the county. There's actually, and some of them may have been used before we put portable into the ordinance, because I do know that actually one on the village shopping center side also, but that still has its wheels on it. They use it occasionally.
So I would like to get Mr. Smith here to talk about this issue. He's just going to be available. I thought he was going to be here tonight, but he had another conference. So,
anyway. Good, because,
he's kind of going through the business meeting. I haven't directly spoken to a lot of these folks.
And I think we need to, trying to get more business to the county. We've got unnecessary restrictions to promoting that. We should know that. This would be a good idea.
also again bringing some folks who have issues with ordinance to the work session or something.
My other main concern is if we do change the sign ordinance, are we going to be in a position to enforce what we come up with?
That's always a challenge. And Mr. Mueller is.
Oh, I understand that, but I'm just saying that there is what bothers me when somebody comes to us and tells us about signs that are in violation on county property, and they point it out, and nothing, but it seems to be okay. You know, that just does bother me, because I think we need to treat everybody equally.
Mr. Mueller does, at least work on complaints, because he called me, because he had got a complaint about the Boy Scout Christmas tree sign 2 years ago. So he took care of that.
Yeah.
So he does at least do the investigation.
He does, he picks out the questions, and the signs is, I don't think we generally got a lot of complaints on the vendor 2.5 years. But people seem to be either not complaining. I'm sure there's people who put up signs 2.5 years I've been here that aren't necessarily legal, but
yeah,
we haven't noticed it, we haven't got a complaint on it.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, I don't have a real big problem with some of the stuff that they're talking about. It's just as I like to, if we're going to do it, we need to be concise, and you know, we need to treat everybody equally.
What I've told Mr. Smith is the Planning Commission worked really hard on this several years back, 5 years, not a long time ago, really.
Yeah.
And any changes, we better, you know, make sure that they're the right changes, and we're not just reacting to a couple of folks who were here today that couldn't get the sign.
So maybe we could also, at that same time, look at some of the things that Louisa might have that we don't allow that maybe should go, and what we could strengthen some things, or we can make some things more flexible.
Yeah, I think there is some room for flexibility, particularly like I mentioned last month, where churches, churches out in the county having trouble if they have a big, huge parcel, they're limited to one sign, and it's great problems with finding out where it's parked and stuff like that. And so there's some ways we can improve the ordinance there, but I'd like to get more feedback from Mr. Smith on what the business community actually specifically wants to change before we make a recommendation to you all on the changes.
I think the sign, I talked to Steve one time about, I have a piece of about the zone B1 at intersection 713 and 15, which is a good site for business. And I asked him about putting up a sign, and he said, well, you could probably put up a 3x3 and get away with it. And I said, 3x3, I mean, that's hardly worth my time. You go down Richmond Signs up here, pay to have a nice sign put up, and you know, put on it, you know, zone B1, excellent for restaurant and so forth. And boy, we really want the business in 4th and believe. And after I looked at it and I said, 3x3, that's not even.
Well, I'm not sure about Steve's interpretation here.
Well, you buzz on by that thing at 55 miles an hour.
I asked you
about it because I said, forget it. You know, it's not worth it.
The real estate signs are exempt.
You got to remember, Steve, that was one thing Steve was against. Steve hates signs.
I would consider the real estate sign exempt.
Well, I asked him, I said, well, in front of my office, I got 4x6 out there. And he said, well, yeah, that's a permanent sign.
Well, down the road on the left-hand side that y'all built up, it used to be a factory or something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, obviously, they had this great big sign.
Yeah.
It's all in the same plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for some type of uniformity, but I don't think we should be a real rigid on the signs unless there's a need to be. Because we will come on enough criticism anyway from the people out there. And especially those if you cover people in business, they say, you know, it's hard making a dollar here. And competitive world.
But we also don't want it to look like going through Florida, South Carolina.
Oh, I agree with you.
Or south of the border.
South of the border, yeah. I agree with you. So you're saying three by...
You'll notice when Mr. Zimmerman, you're going to my neighborhood in Southwest Virginia next week, that we don't have a lot of time limits. So you'll see what happens in the country.
So you're supposed to put up a sign about it.
You'd be surprised.
So you're saying three by three is not necessarily an accurate interpretation?
It may not be. If you're putting up a real estate sign, it's considered exempt under the ordinance. If you're trying to sell property and, you know, we have the, up at the crossroads, we have that real estate sign that's been there, zone, whatever.
Okay, I'll get with you on that then.
Yeah.
Because we always have a place in Fort Keene where you can get breakfast. And I have people calling asking, where can you get breakfast? Go to Zion Crossroads. But you can spend the night.
Say, we're not in store. We don't have nothing against store.
The post office closes at,
So over 4 hours a day?
I don't know.
Is it a lot of us?
I don't believe it is. I'm just living that.
You can come back to our office, Mr. Johnson, and we can reevaluate your application.
Take the sign. Put the fine tune in them, okay.
No permit is required for a real estate sign.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve was a great guy, but if you talk to him about signs, he hates signs. He just hates signs. It's the scourge of pollution, I guess. I don't know.
I was trying to find a picture of a sign. A violation I did when I was town manager of Gate City, show you about Southwest Virginia. I'll find it for the next meeting, but let's just say I have some.
Could y'all come up with some suggestions about some of the things that Louise has got that are different than ours, that maybe theirs is better than ours? I don't want to, if we have stuff that we think is, that theirs is weak and ours is better, we don't want to go down to their weakness.
I'm supposed to have lunch with Allison Nitchum, actually, coming up. So I'm definitely going to pick her brain. She's worked with both ordinances.
Yeah.
And I'll try to take that from that conversation and try to do our own research and come back with some suggestions. I'm still somewhat in the dark about the business. No one's complaining directly to the planning department. Mentioned stuff that Mr. Schmidt and Mr. Nichols.
But nobody's come to the planning department and complained about they couldn't get a sign from the other one.
I would encourage both Jason to come, but also him to bring some folks.
Yeah, that's what I suggested to him when his schedule frees up.
Yeah.
And he's willing to do that, and he probably would have been here tonight. But yeah, I think it's key to have you on, bring some folks in who are actually affected by the perceived negative aspects of our ordinance. Mr. Tugwell would say that there are no negative aspects of ordinance.
And at last,
strong enough.
Well, also at our last meeting, you gave us Dinwiddie and Augusta, right?
Amherst. I did have a role in amending a lot of Dinwiddie's. They had a pretty good sign ordinance in place before we got there. But we did a lot of work with the business community on the electronic sign.
Yeah.
And the sign companies, that was something that everybody could live with. That's one of the reasons I threw that. And plus how we addressed what we call all appearances signs, like billboards.
There's one thing about that friendship that sign in high school. It says all electronic message signs must be turned off at the close of business unless it's displaying time or temperature. And I think that's the same in a lot of different counties. I mean, some people only allow that at 4 time temperature, right?
I believe that's one of the things that Albemarle County, I believe, has listed in there specifically for time and temperature.
Do you think that do we need to have any more discussion about it tonight, or do we need to let y'all take some look at some of the things?
Just a recap. I'll take a look at the Louisa ordinance and some of the other ordinances and try to pick what we might recommend. We'll try to get Mr. Schmidt and potentially some business folks to come to a future work session or meeting.
Could you actually get him to send you a list of specific complaints?
I did ask for a list, and what I got was just what I told you. We need to look at portal signs, flashing signs, and temporary signs. But as far as exact specifics, I'm not sure if he's even, he may have got this information from Mr. Popowitz, and may not have been directly complaining about it, you know, so he's just going through some old names. So it may take him more time actually talking with these people and getting more specifics.
The portal signs are restricted in all areas. They used to get tickled. They had these for a while in Charlottesville. They had these things that were like tractor trailers, but they were about 2 or 3 foot wide.
Oh yeah.
And it was a sign on both sides, and they would drive all over town.
I've seen those.
Yeah.
Good news, Mrs. Eagers here, so did you make them?
Yeah.
See, Terry and Ben Fred. Are you taking credit?
No, sir. All I'm doing is caring. You didn't want
so,
to eat it.
Do we have any more discussion about the signs?
Just want to add one thing for the work session next month. That's going to be our CIP discussion with the department heads. So
they are going to be here.
But Mr. Robinson will be coordinating that.
So will all of them be able to, in an hour of time?
I told them that we would do an hour, and then what's left we would bring the board back to the regular meeting.
Okay.
So we were going to have a pretty large agenda. I don't think we have any cases.
One or two applications.
It'll be a fairly large agenda. Yeah, if Brandon comes back, that's not public here.
It'll be right here, and that's site development.
No public hearing, so we'll clean the time to continue the conversation after the regular meeting commences.
Okay. If we don't have any more discussion about this, we'll end the work session this time. We'll come back into a regular session at 7 o'clock.
Brad, I don't have anybody to giggle with. It's probably a good thing. Are you nervous?
Trying not to yawn and fall asleep.
I know. Did you get you a cookie?
Did you make
it?
I
She makes good cookies.
Thank you.
I'm doing good, how are you? You too.
Now 7 o'clock, we're calling the Susanna County Planning Commission regular meeting for September 28, 2016, or our first business item is the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'd like everybody to stay standing. We'll have a moment of silence at this time. At this time, we will have our director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only items I have to report this month are that
Next item is our first of two public comment sections for the night. This is to allow anyone to speak of items other than the public hearing items that are on the agenda for the night. Anyone that wants to come forward to speak of any other matter other than these, you come forward, state your name and address, and you will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing number one coming forward, we will move on to the next item on our agenda is our minutes from July 27th and August 24th. Does anybody have any comments about the minutes from either of these dates? Does anybody have a motion for either of these minutes or both of these minutes? Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Gaines to accept the minutes as written. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mr. Johnson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 4-0 and one absent.
Mr. Chairman, the record should show that Mr. Martin Messina has not arrived.
Okay. The record will show that Mr. Longenfina has not arrived at this time. Was that motion for both sets of minutes, or was that?
That was for the July 27th and August 24th.
Okay. Do we need to have a second vote?
The motion to approve the vote.
Yes, of course.
Thank you. The next item are our public hearings for the night. Our first public hearing is SUP 1610 VFW Telecom Tower.
Thank you. This is a request for a special use permit from a previous special use permit 1103 with respect to approximately 3.5 acres of tax map 47A10. It is located in a rural residential planning area. The previous special use permit number 1103 was for a 195-foot tall monopole tower with support facilities. This particular special use permit would amend the height of the tower to 250 feet and change the style to that of a self-support lattice tower. This is a tower to be used for commercial purposes, but which will have space for county antenna arrays for emergency services. Brief overview, again, the previous special use permit, which was approved, 195-foot-tall monopole tower and support facilities. The commercial use stays the same. The fact that the county will have access to this tower also stays the same. It was approved with 14 conditions back on November 14, 2011 by the Planning Commission and finalized by the board on December 21st, 2011. So what we're changing here is the height of the tower to 250 feet and the style changes from monopole to a self-support lattice tower. There have been changes to the conditions due to the height and style of the tower. So, Marilyn, right.
So is the lattice tower what they're building there at the sheriff's office also?
Yes, sir.
Same.
This is the location of the VFW site. Surrounding zoning is a low density A1 agricultural general. This is a view of the VFW building as it exists. The tower is located in the woods off here to the right. Specifically in through here. It's going to be screened by existing tree coverage as well as fencing around the site itself. This is the VFW structure that we saw. Main gravel road, and then out here through the woods, surrounded by fencing, and screened by the tree buffer, the tower replaced here. It's just a close-up view of the compound. The height of the physical tower itself is 250 feet, and that is stated in the conditions that the structure of the tower cannot exceed 250 feet, but that is include lighting, lightning rods, antennas, or any other ancillary products. In conclusion, this is a use which has already been approved. You're merely amending a previous special use permit in regards to the height and style of the tower, as well as changes to the conditions. Use a commercial use tower, put them for county equipment. The commission should consider potential adverse impacts, such as the visual impact or the amount of tower structural damage. Both the applicant and our emergency services coordinator, Cheryl Elliott, are here to answer any questions you or members of the public may have. Thank you.
Just one question, so that everybody will know that I asked you earlier today about on one of the written sheets, it shows 254 feet. Is that to allow for the lightning rod?
254 feet is up to the top of the lightning rod. The structure of the actual physical tower itself is 250 feet.
Because any all the types, everything else should be 250 feet. I just want to make sure that everybody understood what that was meant for.
Yes.
Anybody have any more questions for Mr. Dean? Would the applicant like to come forward?
I'd also like to, I'm Cheryl Elliott, the emergency services coordinator. I wanted to tell you why this is coming back to go larger. With the previously approved 195, that this site is one of the six sites that we need for the public safety system. And we're working with the SDT to put the county's emergency or public safety equipment on that tower. And we were going to build it with an extension to hold the antennas, and it didn't make a lot of sense to put an extension on a new tower. So why not just build it to what we need? And working with the applicant, we decided to go ahead and make it a public safety grade tower and make it tall enough that it would reach, that would be reached what we need. And then it also, in the meantime, it gives the applicant actually a little more advantage with the other towers in the area too. But it gives public safety primarily the height that we need to get connected to the other towers.
Chairman, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do I understand to be the case that 250 feet is necessary to accommodate the system of emergency communications that we're putting in?
Yes.
So that's one of the requirements of the ordinance. That has to be showing that 199 would work.
Thank you.
I'm Stephen Dell, with National Communication Towers. Also, at present, I'm Jimmy Adams with National Communication Towers. We have a presentation prepared if you all would like to see it. However, the one that Mr. Newton just ran through covers 99.9% of the same information that's in ours. I'd be happy to run through it if you'd like. Otherwise, I'd be happy to entertain any questions you or anyone in the audience may have about the tower. There was one concern Mr. Newman noted about structural failure of the tower. We had a tower engineer with what's referred to in the industry as breakpoint technology. So there is an area in the tower that's purposefully designed so that should you have a catastrophic failure of the tower, it'll actually, it doesn't fall over like a tree, it actually just folds over on itself, and then the remaining portion of the tower, likely event that that portion folded over actually completely separated from the rest of the tower structure, it would fall within 130 feet on this particular tower design, so it would stay within, well within the property lines of the parcel that it's sited on. And in addition to that, the tower, as Mr. Newman alluded to, there are different class structures. Not to get too technical about it, when you have a structure whose primary and initial purpose is for the co-location of emergency service equipment, it's a different class structure than typical design for a lattice of the exact same size carrying quote unquote commercial carrier equipment. That allows for even more heavier, robust design and larger over design allowances to ensure that the likelihood of failure is extraordinarily unlikely. These towers are so over designed that if you actually got to the point where the tower failed, you have a wind event and you have no other trees or structures within the entire area that would survive for the tower, you've got to point to a failure. They do a really good job of designing the towers. So with that said, if there's any other questions or concerns, I'd be happy to address them at this time.
Did anyone else want to see their presentation, or do you think the presentation already had satisfaction? I have one question. What is the time frame of this? If it's approved, when do you think this would be completed?
Well, we're working very closely with the county on that. As soon as we have approval, we will literally have everything in place to come to the county, you know, within 24 to 48 hours of approval to submit site plans so that they can get approved and then move very rapidly into construction so that we can deliver the co-locatable structure on or before the required dates for the county. What is it?
It's
March or
April,
right.
So
when
we plan to have all of the towers up and then
they
have our co-location.
If this were to proceed, you know, approval here and approval before me, we'd immediately submit for construction, and we would have that tower constructed well before March or April timeline, unless we had some really, really crazy winter weather that stayed in place for like 2 solid months, but we'd be very easy to delivery of that tower before the county ends up deadline.
Does anyone have any other questions for the applicant? If not, we will open the public hearing at this time. Anyone that wants to come forward and speak about this matter may come forward and state the name and address, come to the microphone. You will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one come forward, we'll open it to discussion with the Planning Commission. This is something that we actually approved the actual site some time ago and tests and so forth like that. I do know that the emergency communication stuff and stuff has been worked in for years and years to get this, because in some places in our county, the communication emergency service is almost zero, and it's very important that that the emergency services can protect the people in these areas. Anybody have any comments?
I'm assuming that.
Yeah. It's up on the screen. Okay, if there's no other discussion, do I have a motion?
Yes, I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1610, request to amend SUP 1103 with respect to 3.5 acres, tax map 47, section 8, parcel 10, subject to the 13 conditions listed in the staff report.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Gaines, a second by Mr. Zimmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Be 4-0, and Mr. Lagansina has not arrived. Okay. The next item on the agenda is SUP 1609, Coronal Development.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. We have a special use permit request. Identify this application as SUP 1609 from Palmer Solar Center, LLC. This is a request for a special use permit to construct a major utility, or in other words, a solar farm, on property that is on A1 and I1, and the parcels are specifically identified as Tax Map 5, Section A, Parcels 23 and 23E. Just to clarify, there are two parcels involved in this request. They are located in the Zion Crossroads Community Planning Area. The definition of a major utility is on the screen, defined as facilities for the distribution, collection, treatment, production, transmission, and generation of public, private, and central utilities. Then it gives some examples. This particular project will involve the construction and placement of solar modules or solar panels on aluminum or steel racking structures, as well as inverters that will be placed on concrete pads. The project does not involve the construction of any new buildings. The racking structures will be approximately 12 feet in height at their tallest point, and they will be tilted 30 degrees. They could be designed to remain fixed, or they could be designed to rotate in order to track the sun from east to west. This project will interconnect to Central Virginia Electric Cooperative's electric system. After construction is complete, the site is monitored remotely. There will be some access from time to time by personnel for maintenance and so forth. The subject parcels involved in this request are being leased by the applicant, just to clarify. There will be leased for a period of up to 35 years. At the end of the lease, the equipment is proposed to be removed. And in addition to the two parcels, there is some tree clearing that will take place to prevent shading. And the existing private road that you'll see on the rendering, roadway is covered in the grid of the property owners that are involved. This is an aerial image of the property. It's located off Little Creek Road. You can see just to the east here, Route 15. This is in the southwest corner of the intersection of Route 250 and 15. And these are the two subject parcels here. You can see they're primarily open with the vegetation around the property lines. And this is the applicant's sketch plan. And you can see the tree clearing areas that are shown on the adjoining properties here, here, and here. Just to clarify, those tree clearing areas are not necessarily going to be cleared in their entirety. That's just the area that the applicant has identified as areas they may need to clear trees. They would like to leave as much vegetation as possible to screen the project. This is a view of the entrance to the site from Little Creek Road. You can see the private road here that's going to be used for access to the site. This is named Palmer Farm Lane. And then as you travel further to Palmer Farm Lane, this is the view you currently see. It's currently contained in agricultural use, which will be removed if this request is successful. Just another view here of the existing property. You can see an adjoining residential use there at the end of Palmer Farm Lane. And this is an example of the type of solar structures that will be constructed on the property. These are the steel or aluminum steel racking structures with solar panels or solar modules. So to conclude, this is a special use permit request to construct a major utility / solar farm. This project is located away from the main roads and primarily out of public view, and this project currently appears to be all county requirements. Any potential adverse impacts permanently affect the adjacent residences that are on the farm. A sample motion is on the screen for the Planning Commission, should you choose to take action tonight. And that concludes staff's presentation. The applicant is present tonight for additional questions.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Robinson? Would the applicant like to come forward at this time?
Good evening, gentlemen. I believe the presentation very clearly said what we're looking to do. We don't have a following presentation to add on, but if you have any questions, I'd love to answer.
Is there any environmental concerns with this is the first time you've done a solar farm, so I've tried to do a little bit of research, but it's...
acres, trees have been taken down to open up the view shed, I guess.
So the only reason we're concerned with trees is shading with the panels, correct? So the maximum you would clear is 10 acres out of the marked 20 to 25, I believe. And we're looking more at have current tree planting agreements with the eastern property, but not yet with the southern property.
Would this, these panels affect the water flow into the land or adversely affect any weather streams or something like that? I was looking at some stuff online that says it's possible that the temperatures underneath these could be reduced by 4 to 5 degrees.
So.
5 to 45.
4 to 5. Sorry.
So solar panels in the world of stormwater management and all that are still considered permeable surfaces, so they aren't going to change the flow of water throughout the site. All existing streams and water flow will remain intact. With the piles, there will be no concrete structures with them. It'll just be the aluminum or steel pile in the ground. And according to the United States Army Corps of Engineers, that is not an impact on any sort of water flow.
You mentioned that you haven't received an agreement with the southern property.
Correct.
Now, in the case they decide that they do not want to cut down any trees, how much, what other direction do you, would you need to move your panels, or how many more acres do you need to clear to cover for the southern property not doing nothing?
So I don't think it would be a question of more acres. You might be able to move, shift the panels further north to avoid those southern trees. They're still between Little Creek and our project, there's still 50 feet worth of trees, and those trees, as you saw in the picture, are at most 15 to 20 feet tall. We wouldn't need to clear but a few. This is the site plan was just to show a representation of what could be.
Are, do these panels have any toxic materials if they break or anything like that? Does any toxic materials go into the soil?
Yes, sir.
Is there any effect on birds or any other wildlife?
No, sir. We've had a TNE, threatened endangered species study conducted on the site. There were no concerns with local TNE animals, but it doesn't pose a threat to any existing wildlife in the area.
What are the life cycle of these panels?
The life cycle of the panels? So the lease, I believe, is for 35 years. The life cycle is anywhere from 25 to 35 years, and that's just due to efficiency of the panels. The panels, right, 25 to 35 years.
So ongoing maintenance activity. Do you clean these things, like clean the windows of your house, or what do you do to keep them on a regular basis?
I believe Palmer Road is a gravel road at this point. Standard operation maintenance would be correct, cleaning the panels, just getting the dust off them, make sure they're still able to absorb as much sunlight as possible. And then just any general wear and tear. If we have a tracker, you know, like moving a motor, shifting the panels up east to west, and then just standard electrical checks.
How many of these projects have you completed nationwide?
Several. So we're nationwide. We're currently constructing Florida, Connecticut, Oregon. Personally, I'm working on more projects in Alabama, Georgia, and Arkansas. So these projects are all across the country.
So I guess this is not, you're not doing anything here that you would classify as experimental.
Correct. This is all proven. Correct. We even have eight projects successfully constructed out in North Carolina.
Okay. Any other in Virginia?
We are currently working on, I believe, one other in Virginia, Martin Solar Center, in another town.
Is that
Houston County?
If this, I don't know exactly how to word this, if this was not successful,
mm-hmm.
and either you went out of business or something of that nature, what would happen to these panels?
So we have it strictly in the lease agreement that whether we go out of business or at the termination of the lease agreement, we are responsible for removal of the structure or of the site.
That's interesting. One of the suggested conditions.
Mm-hmm. The planning department will hold the property.
saw that it's a condition, I just wanted to verify.
Correct, I believe that's condition eight listed in the staff report. We just wanted to confirm that there was a timeline noted with that as well, that it wasn't an immediate expectation of removal to allow up to 120 days to remove the system.
Anybody else have any questions for the applicant? Thank you. At this time, we will open the public hearing on SUP 1609. Anyone that wants to come forward and speak about this project, please feel free to come forward, state your name and address. At the microphone, you will be allowed 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll open the discussion of the Planning Commission.
Seems exciting to me, something a little bit more cutting edge coming to Savannah County.
Yeah, I tried to look up a lot on the internet about it, and I couldn't figure out some of it because some of it were in foreign countries and stuff like that. So
I worked a lot of this by working in natural resources. Been exposed to some of this. But what's the megawatts we're producing?
We're proposing a 5 megawatt site.
Okay.
And yes.
And I mean the biggest environmental drawback to solar panels is often they come and cut down all the trees, kind of convert things like that. In this case, they're taking agricultural fields that the landowner is currently converting, I guess.
So the forestry part would be more excited about that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we have any other discussion? Do I have a motion?
I will make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1609, a request to allow for commission utility with respect to 57 acres of tax map 5, section A, parcels 23 and 23B, subject to the 9 conditions with the addition of a 120-day window.
30 days.
Is that?
I think it's 100 days.
120. Okay, so with a 120-day window added to condition number 8.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer. Do I have a second?
Yes, you do.
I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer, a second by Mr. Gaines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 4-0, Mr. One with Mr. Lardenzino not in attendance. Okay, our next item on the agenda is ZMP 1605, Fluvanna Self Storage.
CP Burns Properties LLC, identified as application number ZMP 1605. This is a request to rezone 3.67 acres involving two parcels identified as tax map 8 to section A, parcels 31 and 32. The applicant is requesting to rezone from agricultural general A1 to business general, which is B1. These parcels are in the Palmyra Election District and within the Ravenna Community Planning Area. This is a map showing the location of the site along Lake Monticello Road, which is about 618. Here's the site here. And Route 53, Thomas Jefferson Parkway, is to the west, about half a mile away. And then you can see there's the Lake Monticello development across the road from the site. And this is an aerial photograph. You can see on each of the parcels there's existing, there are existing structures. And there's some vegetation on this property here. This is the site plan or the sketch plan that's submitted by the applicant. This shows the proposal to vacate the interior property line. And here's an existing structure which is proposed to be removed. And then this is an existing structure which the applicant plans to retain on the property. And then this is another page of the applicant's sketch plan, which shows the proposal to construct two storage buildings. One storage building will be 5,000 square feet. The other will be 5,400 square feet. This is the view currently from Lake Monticello Road. This is the dwelling that is supposed to be removed, and just on the other side of the fence there, that is the dwelling that's going to remain on the property. So the two storage buildings that you saw on the sketch plan are going to go somewhere in this area here. And this is a view showing, looking west towards Route 53. And then this is an opposite view looking east on Lake Monticello Road. This view shows the property's proximity to some adjacent commercial uses in the area. And the applicant has an existing commercial establishment just beyond those trees there. So this request is considered to be an extension or an expansion of that existing operation. It'll be on two separate tracts of land, but these two are related. So again, this is a 3.67 acre property in the Urbana Community Planning Area. The comprehensive plan considers this an area that is conducive to further development due to its location and proximity to transportation and residential. If this rezoning request is approved, the applicant will have to submit a final site development plan for review and approval. So to conclude, this rezoning request appears to meet the intent of the comprehensive plan in that it is within the Urbana Community Planning Area, which the comprehensive plan specifically identifies as a primary infrastructure service area, which needs additional services and infrastructure to accommodate more growth. The Planning Commission should consider how this request does or does not align with the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan as part of this request. A sample motion is on the screen for the Planning Commission to use. That concludes the staff's presentation, and I will note that the applicant is present for questions as well.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Robinson? Would the applicant like to come forward at this time?
Hi, my name is Carlos Burns. I'm here representing C.B. Burns Properties. Basically, what this is, the C.B. Burns Properties LLC is a organization that we set up for the rental of the house and the property there. The concept we're looking at here is to maintain the rental house there until we need to expand into that space. I think you remember in some of our previous discussions that we sort of build as we need. The very small piece of property has a dilapidated, deserted trailer there and an old driveway into a parking, into a garage. We're planning to take all those structures down and replace them. We're going to move the fence a little bit closer to the house, not much, just about 20 feet, I think, and set those two buildings in there. I think you heard a lot of the discussion we talked about prior to this as far as the lighting and meeting all the lighting requirements. This will be an extraordinarily low usage kind of thing. Even fully developed, when we've got the whole site developed, will only be about 50% of the existing Plumatic self-storage site. It's just 450 feet down the street. So this is a much more conducive spot for us. To be honest with you, we tried to get this property about a year ago, and we're unable to do it at that time. The owner just didn't respond to us. And it was just by the grace of God that we ran into them when they were there doing a sale and talked to them about getting the site and were able to purchase the site. We currently own this facility at this time. We do have the house is rented at this time, the one on the left-hand property.
Just to let the commission know, I did have a discussion with Mr. Burns about if the rezoning is successful, that residence will be non-conforming. The regulations regarding non-conforming uses will apply.
Right. The intention is no change to that whatsoever. The only thing that would change relative to that is there's a fence that separates the two pieces of property, and we're going to shift the fence over to allow, to give us the driveway space we need for trucks and like fire engines and things to make the turn there. So very similar kind of thing. We would in this case, we would propose to use the more natural tone. We won't continue the color scheme of Havana Self Storage down there. Those days are gone now. We'll be using the natural tones that we were proposing at the other site. We'll be using all the dark skies lighting, cutoff lighting on the buildings. As you can see, we'll be doing screening around the houses. We have contacted every adjacent property owner here, and I believe you'll see in your package, we have several letters of agreement with the property owners that they're in concurrence that this is okay site. And as before, if people have questions, we'll obviously try to work with them the best we can. And as I mentioned before, we are looking to do this as quickly as we can because we literally were turning away customers this year. We just didn't have enough space for them. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
One question I had, doesn't really make any difference, but I was just something that came up today that I was thinking about. Is there any way that you or your employees can have internal access to this property without going out to the highway?
The only space that we would have any question about is, I don't have a option.
What I'm saying is, would you be able to go from your current property to this property?
Now, and the only reason is, and I'm going to point it out right here. You see right here?
This is
a residential private driveway. If they gave us permission, we have a little golf cart that we get around, and we don't even have to get on the street, and we can get back and forth as we can. Pipe stem is the, there's a 50-foot pipe stem we can put right there. That is the only separation. This is the gym. He has units in there that we rent as part of self-storage. And then self-storage is back over here. Our facility is back over here.
I was just trying to, for your benefit, whether, yeah. I know y'all use golf cart or something similar to that, mm-hmm. to go around, so I was trying to figure it out.
That's nice, but it's appropriate for us to be going across the private property.
Thank you.
Any questions? Other questions?
Anyone else have questions for the applicant? And of course, your lighting going in on the road and so forth like that would be the short lights. Like
right, it's going to be on the buildings. All our lights are now on our buildings.
Okay. So nothing on the driveway or anything?
No, I don't think so. Potentially, we might put something, some low-level lighting right down in this area just for safety. And as far as sight lines and everything, we have really good sight lines, especially given that we're such a low level. We'll be low level even fully developed. Right now, this will probably
And at this time, you're only talking about two units, right?
Right. And I expect this to last five to eight years. If we do it 5 years, that'll be great. I'll be loving life.
I know that the VDOT has a few questions about sight distance. If it the traffic decreases over 50, per day.
We'll never see that kind of traffic in this facility.
In that type of facility, I didn't think so either. But
this is 50% the size of our existing facility, and we see less than half of that traffic right now.
If so, you're prepared, if it ever came to that point, you're prepared to comply.
What I would absolutely, and one thing I would propose is there is there's a tree right there. A big old maple tree. And what I would propose is we'll go talk to Tony Rockline, who owns this. I have zero doubt that Tony won't work with us. And what we're going to do is trim off a few of the bottom limbs there to even give us, we'll have about 1,000 feet of distance down that road because you're going past the Manifest towards that point you can see. There's a dip there, but you can still see cars.
And I think the fire department talked to you about the entrance. They'd like to see 24 feet, but you're saying that y'all prefer 26. 27 feet.
Right. They want at least 24, and we'll be doing roughly 27 feet now. We just want so that traffic can go both ways on it, but you don't want it too wide, because you don't want people backing up your building to run in. So it's sort of a balance being there.
Okay. So anyone else have questions for the applicant? Okay, if there's no more questions for the applicant, we'll open the public hearing at this time. The public hearing for DMP 1605 Savannah Self-Storage is open at this time. Anyone wishing to make a comment about this DMP 1605, please come forward to the microphone, state your name and your address. You will be limited to 3 minutes.
Hello, my name is Jane Martin, and I live at 617 Funchal Road, and my property is behind the proposed, zoning change. Okay. We have been in this, in our home for 40 years now, almost 40 years, and we built a log cabin when we built our home because it was rural. We like the privacy, and we like the environment that Savannah County presents. This proposal would take in the house, both the house and where the trailer is located now, will impact us greatly because all this will take up my whole front yard. So, you know, I guess I'm thinking about some of the issues, my privacy issues, since we have the driveway that comes down between the fitness center and the proposed storage building. How is that going to affect people pulling in when there is no turnabout? They would have to come down to either the right or to my property on the left, and before they can turn around. We are thinking of putting up some type of privacy signs, a private driveway, or then turn around or something. But we're going to have a wall on one side and a tree factor on the other. It's a big tunnel that will come back to the property. I know that Carlos has presented to put trees or, you know, work with us and try to make it more private. But if he changes the zoning and in the future proposes to put more storage buildings in, even where the house is located now, he may be renting the house out. But if that presents more storage areas in the future within the next 5 years, then my property is going to be affected because that will be all of my front yard.
Anyway, now, that's not going to be on your yard, but you'll have a view of it.
That will be my view. I will have fencing and lighting and probably noise. If it's going to be 24/7, people come in and they use the storage areas for working shops, sanding. They do, you know, I don't know, you know, you could have some type of engine repair or something going on in them. There could be some type of environmental impact to where the water may spill off into the driveway. You know, and I don't know about his runoff, what he's going to have for runoff. The way the trailer was set up, it's on a slope, and their well was in bad shape, and all that water was coming down the driveway.
Ma'am, you need to finish up.
Okay, well, I just wanted to express my opinion that I am really not for this.
Just for a couple things is they'll have to come back for site planning, and their drains and so forth would have to be come to the county and so forth like that. So there is things like that that would have to be permitted, and the county would make that.
Okay. And I know you're talking, about the impact, but our driveway is very dangerous to pull out right now. If we're going to have a wall that's there, and also there's a dip in the road. I mean, the, they may want to look at that too, Debbie, I'll look at that. It's very dangerous, and the property, I mean, the traffic on that road is increasing every day.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else wishing to come forward at this time? Please come forward to the microphone, state your name and address. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end the public hearing at this time and turn it over to the Planning Commission for discussion.
So we do have a question for Jay, Mr. Stewart. We do have specific screening guidelines.
Correct, yes.
That would apply to this new zoning designation.
There would be screening buffering requirements for regulations of the zoning ordinance side of the hall.
And that would be vegetative screening, not density.
Correct. As well as we're just addressing that.
Right.
I know that we've received quite a few letters that were by other residents of this area that have no objection to this. Does anybody else have any questions, concerns? Okay, if I don't have any further discussion, do I have a motion?
Yes, sir. I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of ZMP 1605, a request to amend the Urbana County zoning map with respect to 3.67 acres of tax map 8, section 8, parcels 31 and 32, to rezone the same from A1 agricultural general to B1 business general.
I have a motion by Mr. Gaines. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mr. Zimmer. All in favor, say aye.
Aye, abstain.
Okay, chair votes aye. We have a vote of 3 in favor, 1 abstention, and 1 absent. It is approved. Thank you. The next item, there are no presentations tonight. The next item is a site development plan, SDP 1610, Palm Heritage Museum.
Thank you. This is a request for statutory approval to allow construction on an approximately 4,320 square foot building with associated parking and road improvements. This is located at Pleasant Grove Park. Structures to be used as a farm heritage museum on a portion of the 500 acres of tax map 30A1. It's all zoned to A1 agricultural general. So we have one story structure with overhang and a 20-foot gravel road will be created. See much of that shortly. This is the parcel here at the Pleasant Grove Park System. Exact location of the existing plantation house and museum is here. This is the comfort station and existing parking. The structure will be placed here. And a new road will be used. This is the existing parking, the new building. And they'll have a road placed to connect the existing parking to the scrap driveway. So to go from here, the new parking will be placed here. There's new parking spaces, the structure, the overhang, and a gravel road for better ease of protection, as well as improvements to sidewalks or handicap access. This is their potential concept plan that they had when they submitted this project. Rel request for approval for 4,320 square foot building with associated parking and road improvements for the Farm Heritage Museum, which is a result of a partnership between the county and the Fluvian Historic Society. And they would possibly have rotating exhibits and material. I have a motion to include the applicants here if you should have any questions.
Okay, would the applicant like to speak?
I'm
this item was, has been on that CIP for many, many, many years, and so we've talked about a lot of times, and what I've read about it is, it seemed like a lot of it, the funding for this was by private donations and so forth like that. I will, just for, so everybody will know this, I probably doesn't disqualify me from voting on it, but I do know that Mr. John May will be donating a lot of the stuff that's on the system there, and I just like to, his wife is my cousin, so I don't think there's a conflict, but everybody can know.
Just for the record, I'll be his contact.
But I like to, you know me, I like to put everything out in the open.
You are a senior's wife.
Okay, do we have any questions from the applicant? Do we need to have any discussion about it? Will be an added thing to the community, a thing to bring people to the county. Do I have a motion?
I'll give you a motion.
Okay.
I move to approve SDP 16-10, a sketch plan to construct an approximate 4,320 square foot building with associated parking and road improvements with respect to 500 acres of tax map 30, section 8, parcel 1, subject to the three conditions listed in the staff report.
Okay, I have a motion from Mr. Johnson. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Zimmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0 and one absent. This site development plan has been approved. Not on the actual notes of my agenda here, but I think in the new business, there was one thing that Mr. Stewart was going to bring up about asking us to ask the planning department to look into the fee structure of.
Chairman, there's been some issues come up with our telecommunications ordinance, specifically section 22.27-14, which relates to the fees for that we charge for our telecommunication applications. Specifically, issue with a lack of clarity that you might want to look at correcting. What I want to ask the planning commission is to make a motion to initiate a text amendment change to the staff to come back with proper research, hold a public hearing, and amend that ordinance with working with the county attorney to basically add more clarity.
I understand that the fees he's talking about pass through fees. So if the applicant comes in and says, I want to put a structure that they want, we don't have on staff expertise in reviewing the kind of technical data you heard tonight from about the BFW site.
Yes.
There's nobody in this room, I don't think, certainly not I, that have any technical expertise, and the staff member doesn't either. So what we do is we contract it with an engineering firm that does have the expertise, and what we do is we submit the technical parts of the application to our consultant, and the consultant charges us a fee, then we charge the applicant fees straight past. So if it's $4,000, it comes to the county, but it's immediately paid over to the consultant. Part of the issue is whether that fee is reasonable under the circumstances, and whether it is reasonable in some instances, but not in others, whether we need to make a distinction in the ordinance, because right now our ordinance is discretionary. Whether to submit it to the consultant, but it doesn't have the standards for exercising discretion. And historically, our consultant has recommended that we submit essentially all for the same fee. We have had questions from the industry about whether that's appropriate. And I think we've had a discussion, and I think staff wants to look into that and give some ideas about refining this structure and defining when we charge fees and if we charge fees, how much they are. So we're able to get some data about the answer to your question. There are data available for fees charged by neighboring counties. I am told, I don't know this, but I'm told by an industry representative that ours is much higher, at least an order of magnitude higher than the others. And that's
in regards to the locations, not necessarily drawing.
That was a question I was going to ask. Should something, I know we've been using these same consultants ever since we did the ordinance to do with towers and so forth like that. Do we just use the same consultant like this forever, or do we ever put out the...
That contract is up for review, but one of the issues with that contract is, I believe that the same consultant manages some of the county-owned towers, so we see if they're going to space out. So we'll need to take a look at that and see how best to move forward, potentially possibly getting another third-party expert.
That's an issue. That's something we're looking at.
And you, Mr. Stewart, probably has a little more knowledge of this than a lot of past planning directors.
I used to consult for the tower industry. Is that what Mr. Bill's getting at?
But either Mr. Stewart doesn't have the kind of expertise that's required in a lot of these cases.
Right, I know that, but I'm saying that, you know, he would probably have some knowledge of knowing about where we are as far as well as this consultant is doing that.
I've worked in several localities that have utilized different consultants. Some in here again use local consultants. Our consultant right now is based in Florida. And on the private sector side of things, he found here in Virginia localities using consultants from up and down the Eastern Seaboard. So it's mainly about people localities comfortable with, you know, whether it's physical location or the fees or whatever the county is comfortable with. I'm not certain how the city's getting to be the preferred vendor here, but I do know the county's had it for quite some time.
Would we be putting out any, after all of this, I guess, is done, would we be putting out some sort of RFP or to be out of consultant?
I think we should.
There are other alternatives. And you don't have to have a consultant. You can do other things too. Mm-hmm. But that looks like, I think it's fair to say that staff would probably recommend keeping a consultant.
Mm-hmm. I think we should recommend that the staff go forward with the path that they recommend tonight.
Yeah, I think that gets we need to make a motion.
Well, there's an element of, I wouldn't call it an emergency, but I think that's fine. And you don't have the text before you, recommend the text before you, but this initiates it and the staff can bring it back to you and then you can set the public hearing.
We could come up with something and bring it back to a future work session for discussion.
There is an element of, I hesitate to call it urgency, but there are applications that have either been made or they're discussing. And I know there's I know there's at least one of these applicants that's not satisfied with our, ordinance, and that's what's triggering this.
And there's some of them that they're being recommended fees be waived?
No, that's, those are ones that are for county facilities.
I thought I saw something about the particular one tonight that, that we did tonight that was in the package about the possibility that according to the board supervisor.
It was, but that's a county facility.
Well, the tower tonight is a private, is for a private commercial tower on non-county land. However, when the board supervisor signed the lease, under section 8C of that lease stipulates that the county will waive all of it.
If the county owns the facility, excuse me, owns and operates the facility, the ordinance was amended to provide there is no fee.
Yeah.
In this case, the county doesn't own it, but the county uses it, and therefore the board supervisor has waived the fee for that. That would not be the case for the kind of thing that we're discussing here. Those are straight up commercial, private commercial activities.
Okay, do we have a motion about this?
I move that the Van County Planning Commission direct staff to initiate a zoning text amendment to amend section 22-27-14 fees for supplemental review in Article 27, regulation of telecommunication facilities to improve the clarity of the fee schedule utilized by the county in regards to its third-party expert, and to schedule a future public hearing for formal planning commission consideration and recommendation to the Board of Supervisors.
I have a motion on this matter from Mr. Gaines. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Johnson has seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0 and one absent. Is there any other business that we need to take, any other new business that we need to go over tonight? Is there any other new business that we need to go over tonight? If there's no other new business or any other items on the agenda tonight, if there's no objection from the planning department and the planning commission, we will adjourn at this time. Seeing no objections, we are adjourned.
Maybe we'll get together some Wednesday down at Bart.
Yeah.
We'll keep trying.
So, Luke, did you abstain because you're on the South Store?
Yeah, I thought so. When you did it,
I thought I remember that.
Yeah, well, I think somebody would say, you went to Hoots or something, right. but voted otherwise. I said, well,
was it a back to part of it? You could say, somebody said, well, you voted against it because
competition. Yeah. So if I just don't take a position on it, I'm in good shape.
Wasn't that terrible? I understand the lady's point.
This is in my front yard.
Well, if that was your front yard, you know.
Who's going to carry the cookie?
I'm the cookie here. You got to do what you're good at.
Well, y'all have a good week.
Thanks, sir.
Just say next month.